Okay. Hello, everyone. Thanks for coming. Thanks for having me. So my name is David Petera, and I will talk about the process of bug reporting today. So quick words about me. I study software engineering at Faculty of Maths and Physics at Prague. And I do support and testing in the BERT Internet Routing Daemon in CZNIC, sorry. So let me paint the scene. So we have all been there. We work tirelessly on a new version of software, adding new features, making things faster, making things better. We run our tests, everything is green, we hit release. Finally, we can rest for a bit, but then our mailbox looks something like this. Crash reports. So yeah, we may not like it, especially in this dev room, but we try to stop it as much as possible with our choice of runtimes, automatic testing, and like other elaborate infrastructure. But it is inevitable, basically. So when it does happen, we need to get information about the crash. We need to get information, crucially, about the crash from the users themselves. And that can be quite a messy process. It can look something like this. BERT, or any other program running directly on the system, when they crash, they generate a core file. So users tend to send us core file and the configuration of BERT, which, as you might know, without the exact binary which it was running, is not really that useful. So we have to ask for the binary. Then they send us the core file, the config, the binary, and that works most of the time. But sometimes we need information about, additional information about the system, like distribution, kernel version, and stuff like that. So we have to ask for that. So we get core file, config, binary info, system info, binary and system info. But sometimes when BERT crashes inside one of the dependencies, we need the dependencies as well. If we have different versions, we basically in GDB, we don't see the stack frames clearly, and we need the binaries of the libraries as well. So then we have to ask again sometimes when we get the core file, config, binary, system info, dependencies. And that works most of the time, but if the dependencies don't have the debug symbols, we have to get them manually or use utilities like debug info D to find them. So all of this, finally we have everything, the core file, config, binary, system info, dependencies, debug symbols, and we can start debugging. But all of this wastes a lot of time, potentially. This can be worth of emails and can be kind of a hell. So what to do with it? What is the solution? Sorry, that's not what I wanted. Yeah, so let's reiterate what kind of we need from a tool or something to solve our problem. We would ideally need to automate the process. So we don't have to do this manually again. We would ideally ask, we would ideally tell the users one command, run this with this, run that, and it will just bundle everything that we need for the debugging. Also, we need for the tool to work on wide variety of software systems, and ideally, of course, it should be open source. So we were asking ourselves, are we alone in this? Of course, other developers have the same issue. But we try to look at existing solutions like abort, systemd core dump, or upport, which work, but they have to be running at the time that the program crashes, And also they are kind of like system specific, like the systemd one, and Apport is for Ubuntu. So we decided to make our own tool. The tool is called Debugpack, and let me try to like say tell you what it is really. So it is a command line tool written first in Bash, but quickly it was rewritten to Python for obvious reasons. The Python version is 3.6, which is quite old. It is quite old deliberately because some of our customers may or may not be running end-of-life systems like 8 years old and or something without support, but the 3.6 should be quite good for that. It also has minimal dependencies to work. It just needs, like, for now, the utility LDD for getting the dynamically linked libraries, but this will be removed also quite soon. Yeah, and it's developed under GPL v3. So from the user point of view, you basically call one command, which is debugpack pack. You provide a core file, optionally the binary. The debugpack can detect the binary from the core file if it's possible. It works most of the time. The vflag is there just to see what is being done by the program and what is copied, and to see a cute picture of a cat. And if user wants to provide additional files like configurations and anything that would help the developers, it can do so. User runs this command, the debugpack will create a tar archive and bundle everything together, the information like the core pack, the core file, the binary, everything basically that is needed, the system info, the libraries in the structure, in the directory structure that it was on the system, which then can be later used in GDB. So just to show how the structure of the tar archive, it's quite simple. If I'm able to move, yeah. Basically, like I said, we have some config JSON, but for the most part, it's just what I said. The system info that we save is just the proc files, the main ones that are usable, and yeah, that's the additional files. The advantage of this is that it's like any other tarball, which can just be examined manually if needed. This is the cat. If you run this, and it should be a bit smaller, but basically you see that it copies all the libraries, then the stuff, and just tells you where did it copy it to. So now from the developer point of view, you have two main commands. One is debug, which if user bundles this tar archive, sends it to the developer, then the developer will use it in this process, and basically this command will open GDB for you, sets everything up like the sysroot with the it will download debug info, debug symbols, and run GDB, and you can basically start debugging right away. The browse command is there just to examine the system info and the additional files. So the benefits of this is that there is no back and forward. The developer has all the information they need right away at all times. Also, if you manage to convince your users to use this tool, the bug reporting can be normalized. It's always the same. The user don't have to think about what information should I provide. It will just be in the bundle. So overall, better experience for users and devs also. some future work. This setup was mainly used for like in-house purposes for us. We managed to publish it because why not? But I can imagine that like other developers have their specific needs, that what they need from the like debugging tool or like reporting tool. And so it would be nice to support like plugins and or other like modifications to the code without you know, like rewriting the whole software. It would be also cool if we have the system info. We can possibly like spin up like Docker container or something like that, that would have the user system on it, and we can for example like replicate the crash or the bug, or debug it directly in the container. Yeah, if it is like needed, it could also be changed to a daemon bundler. Yeah, if you have any ideas, let me know. It would be nice to collaborate. So that's basically it for my presentation.
You have a couple more minutes. You can take questions if you want.
Okay. Does anybody have questions or suggestions? Yes.
So you are dependent on Python runtime. So
yes.
Do you consider this as a drawback, like limitations, like users must have Python runtime?
Okay, I will try to repeat the question. That we depend on the Python runtime, that is true. We would need to kind of like have it in as a binary, which is possible, but I don't see it as a big limitation. Like, I think people using our software also have a Python runtime on their systems. Any other question? So you can see the QR code, that's the GitLab page, and you can meet us at the Bird stand in the Q building.